on It's Supernatural. Satan has unleashed his two greatest and most devastating evil spirits in attempts to destroy mankind. This hidden strategy is Satan's greatest end-time secret. Find out what these secrets are and how you can defeat them.
Can ancient secrets of the supernatural be rediscovered? Do angels exist? Is there life after death? Are healing miracles real? Can you get supernatural help from another dimension? Has the future been written in advance? Sid Roth has spent 30 years researching the strange world of the supernatural. Join Sid on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. My guest, Steve Foss, heard a choir of angels singing for 40 minutes. It began a search for him in which he literally reached into the invisible world and obtained supernatural wisdom. Wisdom that's going to change your life forever. Steve, you came from a broken home. You started drugs at a young age. How young?
I'm 15 years old and got heavier and heavier into drugs, using many drugs and heavy drinking. And literally my life was spiraling out of control. I was literally on my way to death and got close to death many times.
So you were on the verge of a nervous breakdown. Yeah. And someone invites you to what you think is a dance club, but right. It really wasn't. What was it?
It was a Holy Ghost service. It was a revival service. All they told me is they said they have a live band and they dance. So I show up in my dancing clothes and everything, and I get to this college university in this slanted lecture hall, and they have a band, but there's no dance floor. And I thought, well, where did they dance? And then the music started playing, and they started dancing everywhere. And, you know, I was raised in Catholic church. I've never seen anything like that before. And then they got to the slow songs, and the guy who brought me, he got down on his knees, and he began to lift his hands. He began to weep before the presence of God. And I literally was freaked out, and I said, Lord, get me out of here.
I was just going to say, why did you stay?
Well, actually, they were smart. They stuck me in the middle, and they put big people on either end of the row, so I couldn't get out. And so then the preacher started preaching, and he started quoting scriptures, one word after another, one scripture after another, and it was hitting me in my spirit. He got to the end. He said, if you want to give your life to Jesus, raise your hand. There's 300 students in the room, and about four raised their hand, but I stuck my hands under my legs. There was no way I was going to go forward. And he called them forward, and the first guy that went forward, he was what we call a nerd, you know, and he had the broken glasses and pimples everywhere, and he just looked like, you know. And when he went down there, I could understand, my thinking was, I understand why he wants God.
He needed that.
That's right. He needed God.
Right.
And two other people went down there were normal people. The fourth guy that went down was one of the football players. Good-looking guy, perfect body, dressed like he had money. So I thought, he has money? He has talent. He's got the looks. He's got the women, obviously. He's got everything.
So he's not faking anything.
No. What does he need God for? I mean, the nerd, I understand. No, who's going to love him? But what does this guy need God for? And they went down forward, and the preacher had them all pray a prayer, giving their life to Jesus. He went and prayed for the nerd guy first, and he fell to the ground. I had never seen anything like this. I literally stood up and said, no way. The dude passed out. He prayed for the next two people. They fell down. I don't understand what's going on. He goes to the football player. I'm thinking, there's no way this guy's going to fall down. Well, he starts to pray for him. He doesn't fall down. He begins to cry like a little baby.
A football player?
Yeah.
A macho man?
That's right. And that's exactly what hit me. Guys like this do not cry about God in front of 300 of the fellow students. And I thought, man, this must be real. As soon as I did that, my heart began to race. My hands began to shake. A numbness started going up and down my arms and up and down my legs. People said, what happened to you? I said, I got mugged by the Holy Ghost. And I literally felt a very still, small voice saying, whispering, give your life to Jesus. And I heard another voice screaming in this side of mine, saying, no, keep doing your drugs. For 40 minutes, I wrestled. 40 minutes, I fought as they continued to pray for people. And then finally, I bowed my head and closed my eyes and said, God, if this is really you, if this is not phony or fake, if this is really you, have that preacher call me out of the audience. Sid, within 30 seconds, 300 students, that preacher looked right up to me. He looked me right in the eye and he said, brother, the Lord wants you down here.
You weren't in the front row either.
I was way up in the back.
How could that happen?
And I didn't know. I didn't know about the gifts of the Spirit. It was supernatural. And I went down there. I mean, I didn't even ask the big people to move. I climbed over a row of chairs to get down there. He said, "Do you want to give your life to Jesus?" And I started crying. I said, "I'm scared." He calmed me down. He asked me again. I said, "Yes." I gave my life to Jesus. He laid his hands on me. He prayed for me. He said, "Jesus, fill him right now." And when he said now, it was like a lightning bolt from heaven came down, hit me in my stomach. It exploded through my body. The next thing I know, I'm on the floor, Sid. I can't get up. I'm physically pinned to the floor for 40 minutes.
Steve, you're not exaggerating.
No. I had done all kinds of drugs. I had done LSD.
Why did you stay down for 40 minutes?
I couldn't get up. I was physically held up.
Like if someone had yelled, "There's a fire in the house."
I couldn't get up. It was like I was under a giant waterfall, pulsating, but it was pure love and power pouring through my body. I heard what sounded like a choir of millions of angels singing an indescribable song.
How beautiful was it?
I don't know if you've ever been to a choir or an orchestra that hit that one note that sends chills down your spine. Imagine a choir of millions hitting that perfect note for 40 minutes nonstop. That doesn't even begin to get close to describe the beauty, the majesty, the glory of it. And I literally felt the bodily presence of Jesus come and hover over my body. When I sat up 40 minutes later, Sid, I was now trying tears of joy. I was instantaneously delivered from 5 years of drug addiction. Never had a withdrawal.
No desire?
No desire. Not only did he deliver me from the addiction, the desire was gone. I've never even wanted to touch a drug since that day.
And then 2 days later, you receive a purpose for your life.
2 days later, had another incredible encounter. And after I got up, I'm on my knees, 2 days in the Lord, on my knees, worshiping God in the service. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, "I've called you to preach my gospel." And I literally showed me all my dreams before me. And I said, "Yes, Lord, I will." And I saw those dreams go off. And right there, Sid, raised in a Catholic church, knowing nothing about this, right there, God gloriously baptized me in the Holy Spirit. And I began to speak in a heavenly language, a prayer language. It just began to flow out of me.
Supernatural wisdom that Steve obtained from heaven, that once you get this wisdom, the power that is keeping you captive in various areas of your life, it'll be broken forever. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this word.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Steve Foss. And Steve, you were talking to a high school Bible study, but these were students that had no experience in the supernatural at all. And you had a couple of visions that I want you to tell me about. Take it from there.
I was praying for this. I spoke 2 weeks in a row. And before the second week, I was praying because I really wanted God to show up in power. And in this, I had two visions. The first vision, I saw a young man sitting in the crowd. I saw exactly where he was sitting, exactly how he was dressed. And I saw myself call him up in the vision and begin to speak over him, prophesy over him that God had called him to be a preacher of the gospel. And then I prayed for him, the power of God hit him. Well, see, when I went to the meeting the next day, that young man who I'd never met before was sitting exactly where I saw him. Dressed the exact same way. So I called him up and I said, "God gave me a word for you, that you are called to be a preacher." He began to cry. He said, "Last night I told my mother for the very first time, I feel I'm supposed to be a preacher."
Well, that astounded him, but it must have astounded you too.
Well, everybody was amazed and I'm sitting back. And so then I want to pray for him and I'm standing near him, but I didn't touch him. And I sat there and I called someone to help me out and I turned to him and I said, "Lord," and this is a precious Baptist brother, you know, young man in a Baptist church, never seen anything. I said, "God, touch him right now." The power of God hit him. He literally collapsed to the floor
Did you put your hands on him?
I was 5 feet away from him. Huh. I just spoke the word and the power of God hit him and he fell to the ground. And all 70 of those students, their eyes their jaws dropped. They couldn't believe what was happening. But it was the second vision that changed my life.
And I have to tell you, I've read your book, Satan's Dirty Little Secret, and this is going to change your destiny. There's some areas of your life that you're in bondage that you're going to be free. Some of you have never tasted this freedom before. Tell me about the vision.
Well, I was praying for the students and I was going into spiritual warfare, binding the spirits you would expect to find on a high school campus, drugs and violence and these other spirit rage. And as I was praying, I kept feeling like I was hitting something in the spirit, like it wasn't breaking. And all of a sudden, my eyes were open. And I was standing like on a field across from the school campus, and I could see coming up from either side of the campus were these two giant tentacles, and they wrapped together up top. Then connected to the tentacles were all these smaller spirits, and they had names on them, rage and violence and perversion and all these different spirits. So I thought to myself, aha, I see you. So I started to pray after them. And after I prayed and I would go after them, bind them, they literally got buffeted back like a leaf in the wind.
So if you could get rid of them, yes, then you could have freedom on the campus.
Absolutely, because I knew that's what was holding the young people captive. And they would be blown back like a leaf in a mighty wind. But as soon as I stopped praying, they strengthened back up because they each had two legs tied into these tentacles. And I said, Lord, I realized they were getting their strength from what they were connected to. I said, Lord, what are those tentacles? And he said, they're the two demon spirits that every spirit gets its strength from.
Now, I've never heard anyone say that before.
And I hadn't either. And I said, well, Lord, what are they? But because I didn't see any names on them. He said, I continued to pray and pray 30, 40, 50 minutes. I don't know how long. God, show me. God, show me. When all of a sudden, and I'm having the vision the entire time, I could see beneath the surface, and I saw their roots, and I saw their names, insecurity and inferiority. I didn't even really know what inferiority meant, so I had to go in a dictionary and look it up. And inferiority literally means the feeling of being lower in position or stature or value. And then God spoke to me. He said, these are the same two demon spirits that attacked Eve in the Garden of Eden. And I said, now, Lord, I've read that story many times. I didn't see it in there. But God began to show me.
But you're telling me if we can get rid of insecurity,
yes,
and inferiority, all those other demons that are trying to hang on to people will have nothing to hang on to.
They have nothing to hang on to because the doorway they get in is through these two things, our insecurities and inferiorities. You see, Adam and Eve had total strength against the enemy. The enemy came and attacked him through Eve, deceived Eve on the tree, the serpent. The first thing he did was attack her security. He questioned the validity and truthfulness of God's word. See, everything Eve knew to be true was based in the word of God, that what God had said was true. Her whole security is based on that truth. When he said, hey, no, God's lying to you in essence, she became in feeling insecure. Now, she wasn't truly insecure, she only felt insecure. And then he hit her with the second of the dynamic duo of these two spirits. He hit her with inferiority. He said, Eve, God knows when you eat of it, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. But that was a lie, because in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, God said man was already created in his image. What he was saying is, Eve, not only is God lying to you, you're not who you think you are. You are less valuable than you think you are. You are inferior. The moment she felt insecure and she felt inferior, she had to grab for something to give her sense of security and value. He offered her a fruit. Now, up until that point, she hadn't lost her value. She hadn't lost her security. But when she grabbed the substitute and ate of that fruit, then she lost her security with God. They were driven from the garden. And she lost her value. They were no longer in the image of God. The Bible says when Adam and Eve had a child, it was after their own image, no longer the image of God.
And they had to clothe themselves. I've often wondered about that. What does that mean to you?
Well, they were exposed. All of a sudden, the glory, they were covered with the glory of God. They were in the image of God, covered with the glory of God. They lost that when they grabbed the substitute. And said, this is the same strategy that the enemy uses upon us all the time to make us feel insecure, to make us feel inferior, so we grab for something to give our sense of self a sense of value.
Isn't this what all advertising, what Hollywood
absolutely
operates under?
Absolutely.
They take advantage of the deception that has hit us.
You're not valuable enough, attractive enough, unless you wear these clothes, unless you wear this perfume. You're not valuable enough. You're not attractive enough, so you can't have security in life unless you drive this car, unless you own this kind of house.
Wait till you find out what happens to young people when they get set free of these two spirits that control everything else that gives them literally the power of the evil that controls their lives. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Steve Foss, and I am so excited that God has given you this insight, because when God identified these two demonic spirits that give power to every other problem that people have, it's making such a difference. Now, you work a lot with teens, and I want to find out, if I had only understood this as a teenager, but I understand it now, and I'm not going to give them any power.
It's why, and there's a lot of parents right now wondering, why is my teen acting up so much? Insecurity and inferiority. Why did they join a gang? Because they felt insecure and inferior. So what does the gang give them? A sense of false security and a sense of value. I'm a Crip, I'm a Blood, I'm a this, I'm a that. Why did they get a part of this extreme group, gothic or punk or whatever? Because they're trying to get a sense of value, of belonging. They're trying to shore up an insecurity and inferiority that is rooted in the lack of the revelation of who God has made them.
Yeah, but of course, you don't have to be a teenager to have insecurity and inferiority.
Oh, absolutely. It affects every part of life. You know, it's the root of why marriages fall apart. It's because, and the fighting back into the wife doesn't feel like the husband values her. What is she feeling? Insecure. She's feeling inferior. See, and when we stand in a place that we are secure in our relationship with God, and we are secure and valuable in our because of who He has made us, we no longer need other people to provide that for us.
You know, another thing that excites me so much is your work with young people. I understand you have meetings in which you might teach for 5, 6, 7, 8 hours. How do you get teenagers to sit that long?
When the revelation of God is there, when the power and presence of God is there, the manifestations are so strong. Young people crying out to God, seeking God. When they truly, we don't need to entertain them, Sid. We need to bring them the power and the presence of God, a real encounter with a real Jesus, not just words. Because when they see God, this is what the Bible teaches, when they see God, they begin to see who God has called them to be. And that lifts them out of this bondage so that they're not subject to the strategy of the enemy and insecurity and inferiority. But you know, one of the areas too, in this area of insecurity and inferiority that we see manifested right today, it allows the enemy to set us up. The whole economic collapse that's coming, the whole one world government system that's coming, the entrance of why so many, we're going to surrender our freedoms.
Those two spirits will be the Antichrist system.
That's right.
I saw it when I read your book.
We see it happening right now. Why are people willing to give up so many of their freedoms right now? Because they feel insecure about the economy. They feel inferior. They feel like I won't be able to have retirement. I won't be able to take care of my kids. I won't be able to do this. So they're beginning to grab for anything. And that's where the enemy is able to flood in. Instead of understanding that God is our source and God is our protector and God is our provider. You know, God
about that whole one world government thing, God has given you insight into the administration. For instance, the Bush administration. Yeah. He gave you some supernatural words. Tell me about that.
Well, the Lord spoke to me in January of 2000, before Bush was even the nominee. He said that George W. Bush was going to be the next president of the United States. He said it was going to be the hardest fought election in modern American history. And we all remember the hanging chads.
We'll never forget.
Yeah. And then he said during the Bush administration, there would be a season of unprecedented wealth creation, which we all remember the housing boom and the stock market boom. He said at the end, the economy would collapse. And then he still showed me about an incredible evil that would come in the government, the government of the United States following the Bush administration. And that there would be an incredible assault against Christianity and against our Christian freedoms. And an incredible release of evil that would come upon America. And we're already seeing that happening right now.
Now, when you say evil, what do you mean?
Well, you know, evil is rooted in the deception. One of the great deceptions is when we begin to call that which is good evil, and that which is evil, good. And we see that happening right now. The terminology is being changed to stand up now, and a law that's being passed right now, or in the Congress right now, is that if a preacher stands up and says a certain sin, homosexuality or pedophile, is a sin, that's correct. But now the law that's being passed is going to say, no, that's evil. It's evil to identify that as sin. It's a hate crime. It's trying to switch everything around, that if you stand up and preach righteousness, you're evil. Even in the church, Sid, we see this. If someone starts preaching, let's live for God and live holy, You're now called, accused of being religious. We're in a day where good is being called evil, and evil is being called good. It's good to be involved in perversion. It's good to have no restraints. It's good to not honor God. We're calling those things good.
The only answer is knowing the security that comes in knowing who you are in Jesus. And you get that point so, you pound it so home in your book. But you had, you were speaking before young people, and there was a four angel vision you had. Tell me about that.
It was an amazing vision, and I'm only going to talk about the first two. But the first angel that showed up, I had this vision, and then 2 weeks later I was at a youth camp, and these four angels showed up. The first angel showed up, he had a banner on him that said purity. And God has spoken to me that he had come to bring holiness back to the church. He had a shield that was made of the most amazing silver, outlined with a gold that was so bright it was like on fire, and a sword with the same silver and gold. He said, the shield has come to shield my people's minds from the vile thoughts of the enemy. And the sword has come to pierce their hearts with the deepest of conviction. Well, when that angel came into the youth camp, spontaneously, young people started screaming out to God, confessing their sins. God, forgive me. God, I've sinned against you. God, I've done this. I mean, some of the most horrible sins you could imagine. They start confessing them publicly. This went on that whole morning and all evening services. Then the next morning, while I was ministering, the next angel walked in, and he had a banner that said power. And as he walked on the platform, the power of God started hitting these young people. And I saw in his hands like these giant balls of blue light white, the glory of God. And it was strange. He blew on them, and like little specks would fly out and touch young people in the stomach. And as soon as they touched them, they began to shake uncontrollably.
Now, was this group a particularly spirit-filled group that understood
they
gifts?
Came from a Pentecostal background, but they were not, most of them never even been slain in the spirit or spoken tongues. They'd never seen anything like this, nor had I talked about it. So they weren't worked up in some psychological, you know, mindset. This started spontaneously happening. Within 15 minutes, 70% of this youth camp, the adults and youth, were shaking uncontrollably under the power of God. It went on for hours and hours, and there was a large chunk of them that shook under the power of God, sit for 3 days nonstop.
You know, they will never forget that. Just out of curiosity, do you know if there are any long-term effects that this encounter with God has?
So many of the ones that I talk to are in ministry today. They all talk about how that day changed and transformed their life. We have just started a brand new church in Dallas, and I had someone come down and visit one of our first church services. They came down specifically because they were in that youth camp, and she came down, they're going full-time children's ministry right now. She said, that was the camp that transformed my life when I had that encounter with the power and the presence of God. And that's what God's wanting to do. You know, and there's some parents right now that are struggling from their teen. My teen's battled insecurity and grabbing onto all these other things. We're going to break that thing, that devil, in
very
the name
quickly.
Of Jesus. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit of insecurity, inferiority off of your child's life in Jesus' name. And God, give them a supernatural encounter with your presence that will change their lives. Said, this is what we're seeing God do all over the world.
Do you remember the two voices that Steve heard? One voice saying, go forward, the other voice saying, don't. You have those two voices right now. Who are you going to choose? Choose God. God's for you. God will help you. Tell Jesus you're sorry for every bad thing you've ever done your whole life. Believe that that blood washes away your sins. And then raise your hands up and say, I make Jesus my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. Out loud.